And a pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Bullseye Saints Hour. It is your inside look at the black and gold, brought to you by Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints, coming to you from River Ridge Fields, no, not 10 miles outside of New Orleans, in Oxnard, California, where the Saints have just wrapped up a spirited practice with the Dallas Cowboys. Mike Hoss, along with color analyst, legendary Deuce McAllister, and sideline reporter, digital everything, Jeff Nowak. Gentlemen, we are behind the end zone where the practice fields are. Dallas is done. They've wrapped up their portion of training camp. They're heading back to Dallas. It's just very similar to the Jacksonville practice, offense and defense on one side. I was with the Saints offense, the Dallas defense. Deuce, I think you probably spot the difference between the two. And Jeff, you spent most of your time with the Saints defense and the Dallas offense, which had its own challenges, which we will get into. But where do you want to begin? You want to begin with just the overall?
I think we should begin with the fights. Yeah. I think that that's the story. You know, like, there's a lot that happened today that you're going to look at and say, you know, we'll evaluate it. But this was a day that my count, which was probably on the low end, was 10 individual scuffles, at least 6 on the defensive side. And I counted, you know, 4 on the offensive side that I could see from across the field. And you could tell Kellen Moore was a little agitated about it. I think Brian Schottenheimer was even more agitated about it. It takes a lot away from what you're able to do when you're every third play. Yeah, you know, it's tough. And that's why these joint practices can be a little feisty, right?
So you were saying 6 from our number one defense against their number one offense?
Well, I mean, both teams. I mean, I didn't.
So total 6?
Yes.
No. Multiply.
On the defensive side, I mean.
So on the offensive side.
On the offensive side, it was these 12.
Yeah. They couldn't run a play. It was play, fight.
Yeah.
Play, fight.
And then not just one fight, multiple fights.
Right. It wasn't push and shove. It was benches.
I saw Eric McCoy threw a helmet.
Well, he threw after they pulled one of the offensive guys' helmets off. And then that's what happened to Ronnie Bell.
Yeah, Ronnie Bell. Well, we got a full hour. There's a lot to go. There's a lot to unpack here. There really is. But on the offensive side, Saints offense, they literally could not get much work done. And it started after Alvin took a really big hit. Don't know his situation.
He left knee injury.
Left, and then one of the next plays was just a shuck scramble, and he threw it to Devin Neal, which we'll get into. Devin Neal and Kendre Miller both playing, and somebody hit shuck. Hit him in the hand, or was it, you know, whatever. And from that point on, from that hit on Alvin, and that, you know, hit to shuck, it was a melee. They were bench clearing every one of them.
But the hit on Alvin, it wasn't a hit. It was his teammate. It was one of the tight ends that got blocked into him. It wasn't even a hit on Alvin. It was a teammate that got blocked in. It was a tight end that got blocked, and that's how Alvin hurt his knee. It was kind of rolled on him. Alvin was running, and he got pushed into the side, and that's what happened on that play. I was right there. I saw it. Now, Alvin probably got hit up high, but it wasn't like a malicious to take him to the ground type of hit, because Zero, what is it, I got his name.
Overshawn.
Yeah. He came one time in the red zone, and it was against 43, Donaldson. That was a hit. I mean, that was a downhill. That was red zone now. That was one where I don't know if Donaldson saw him clean, but that was one where it was like, ooh. You know, and they had a chair.
There was physicality. It was physical.
Here's what I saw. The first team period, offense, defense, and this is just for the offense, and I'll go defense for what I saw. The first team period, offense, defense, the Saints offense won. Dallas raised the level of intensity. Their defense did. And that's where you started really having a chirping. And there was one player, number 14. 14, Florida A&M. Marquise Bell. An instigator. 100% instigator. Not on one time, multiple altercations. Saints defense versus Dallas's offense. The second play, it was a plus 25 run. by Dallas.
Yeah,
they
made some holes in that secondary, the Saints defensive line today.
Yeah, well, the linebacker kind of got caught inside, and it was to Chase Young's side, and corner couldn't get off, and everything bounced outside. And I could tell you, the back on that play for them was Javonte Williams. And that was kind of the second play. They were backed up. Their offense was backed up. Now, outside of that, for that series, the Saints offense didn't really give – I mean, Saints defense didn't really give up any explosive plays. Now, Dallas did have an explosive play where Pickens downfield, and he was going against –
Blackman and Yadam.
Yeah, Blackman and Yadam, but he kind of got away, and the ref didn't call it. I mean, but he got away with a pass interference. It was a double move. But you could tell how – talented of a player he is, because he was still able to kind of locate and find the ball and still be able to go up and get it. Now, that was a really, really big play that Pickens had, and that would have probably been down to the 1 or 2 yard line. And it was one where it's almost like, you know, how a couple years ago we think the quarterback just gets it into Shahid's down there somewhere. That was kind of like Dak. That's all Dak did. I mean, because he was not open. One bit, but I mean, he was just trusting his receiver. Now, we talked about Julian Blackman. I talked about it earlier. Blackman had another interception today. I mean, and so there hadn't been, I'm gonna knock on wood, there hadn't been many practices where we do joint practices where he doesn't come up with a pick. And we saw that today. And there were a few times, and you may have had the number. I know one was Broughton. But the defense was a mess.
Broughton had the pressure on the interception by Blackman.
He had a sack as well.
Yeah.
But the defense was a mess because –
Oh, you want to talk about the numbers?
No, we'll save it for next hour. But it was a mess because of the number situation. Next hour.
We only got 1 hour.
The next segment.
Hold on here,
the
buddy.
Next segment.
We're an hour and a half from home.
Yeah, well, that is true, too.
Well, I mean, but we can get through it. So there was a miscommunication between the Saints and the Cowboys over which side of the ball was wearing white. And so the Saints defense showed up wearing white. The Cowboys offense showed up wearing white, and so the Saints defense had to just pick a bunch of random numbers, and it was like trying to learn a different language and to figure out who was who. You had linebackers wearing offensive lineman jerseys, and they had to basically like pin them up, looked like night shirts. You had Pete Werner wearing Chris Tyree's old jersey, if you remember the wide receiver. It was about three sizes too small. It was like a little, you know, high rise.
You had some jerseys that didn't even have numbers on them.
Yeah.
I mean, until
Anthony Jennings was wearing a jersey inside out.
Yeah, and so it was just like they just had black uniforms on. But
it was a mess.
It was really tough trying to figure out, all right, who's that to make a play? I mean, because Granderson made a play on one counter.
He was wearing Bob Means' jersey.
Yeah, but and I'm like, man, who is that? You know, it was like, is that a linebacker? I mean, but it was just like you could not tell. But the Saints asked him. The Saints asked them today before they came to practice. And he was saying, no, this is what we got. And show up, sure enough, you had to go find some uniforms.
Well, I'm saying that on the field, and I'm going, I see a lot of white. How am I? Who's who, right? Everybody's wearing white. I've never seen anything like it except for Dallas's defense, which were on the other side. So let's do this. We got a lot to talk about. And there's a lot of good today, and we're going to spend a lot of time talking about and as you saw it, and that's the Tyler Shuck to Chris Olave connection. I mean, if you didn't see it, don't worry about it. I saw it. I wrote it down like 12 times. Amazing timing. Let's take a break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, Jeff Nowak. We are live. The Saints literally just getting on the bus here in Oxnard, California, as they finish up their joint practice. So you are getting it as it happened. But we'll step aside. You're listening to the Bullseye Saints Hour right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. It is Bullseye Saints Hour, Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. We are with you until 8 o'clock tonight, Central Time. We are a couple of hours behind you. Mike Haas along with Deuce McAllister and Jeff Nowak. And we've started to go to break talking about, again, because I was Saints starting offense and Dallas's defense. And I think, you know, there weren't a lot of deep passes and touchdowns from Tyler Shuck, but I think he had his best connection day with Chris Olave. Deep outs, sideline over routes, 6 to 12, probably 10 times where Chris was able to get 2 feet in, spin the ball. He did the same thing with Bryce Lance. Deuce, I know you were trying to watch both. But they weren't massively deep patterns, but their connection today to me was as strong as ever.
He was 9 for 9 and had over 100 yards. And the one time he did come out or whatever, I think he fell on the ball. and that was the one that was on the sideline for about 12 to 15 yards. They didn't have an answer for him. They did not have an answer. And so I know that you don't have Jordan Tyson and you didn't have Vele, but if he wanted to force it to Chris Olave, he could have forced it to Chris Olave all day long. I mean, because Dallas did not have an answer for him at all.
And during one of the fights, several people, Ronnie Bell left the field.
Heat-related issue.
Heat-related. He came back. Chris Olave left the field, walked to between both fields, came back. This was during a hydration break. Came back, kind of stood in the middle of the field, and two plays later, he's back in the game, scored a touchdown. One of the last touchdowns he caught in the back of the end zone on his butt.
No, he went in the tent. He went in the tent. I'm telling you what, he went in the tent, talked to Doc, checked him out, comes back out. I think, you know, if anything, it may have knocked the wind out of him when he caught the pass on the sideline and kind of fell on the ball. I mean, it was a double catch. It was a double catch where he bobbled a little bit, but the official said that, hey, you're inbound. Yeah, it's a catch. Probably would have been one that they would have challenged it, but I thought he did a pretty good job of catching it. But they did not have, like you said, three of his routes for sure were over 15 yards. As far as catches, but whether it was deep out, whether it was, you know, over the middle, just catching the football, wherever he found a void on his own, and the other ones were man-to-man, they did not have an answer for him.
And while we're talking about the offense, and Jeff, I'm going to talk to you about certainly the play of defense, but I can only ask the questions from where I was standing, but I've really felt like Travis Etienne and the offensive line. You know, he had some great moves where he's got that ability behind the line of scrimmage to change direction. I thought Etienne had a really solid day.
Had an outstanding day. I mean, and so for me, got to talk to him a little bit out there. He didn't interview. He was just talking. And so he is becoming more comfortable running behind his offensive line. And that was one of the things that, you know, going to take some time. You kind of don't think about. Just because, hey, you did play with some other guys, and now you're in a new system, not only learning a new system, but the one thing that he has to get comfortable with is just understanding how certain guys like to block certain plays. And so for him to be able to set it up and what he's reading and seeing, now he can set it up. And so it's one thing to set it up in my eyes, in my mind, but another one, I can set it up with my eyes and my steps because I know where I want to go. I know where I want to go with the football, but now I am just setting the defenders because I know, let's just take for instance, you know, I want to get outside. Well, I dip inside just a little bit to help that tackle or that tight end so he can really seal it. And so he doesn't have to stress so much to say, hey, man, I got to hold, I got to pull. I'm telling him, hey, I'm going to dip inside. You don't have to pull him down. I'm not going there. You know, I am getting on your hip. And if I do go there, it's on me because I am getting outside. And so just telling and having those conversations with those guys. So now when that play is called, he's able to do it. But there were numerous runs where he was just, you know, whether it was picking and choosing or just a pretty clip. And we're talking about, I think, Williams and what was the other defensive tackle? I think it was Mozzie. I'm looking at it.
Mozzie Smith?
Yeah, Mozzie Smith, the other defensive tackle. But Quinnen Williams and I think it's Mozzie Smith. I'm fairly sure that's who the other deep tackle that they had in. I'm over here cheating because I have the –
Kevin Gillum, Tommy Dunn.
No. It was Kenny Clark. It was Kenny Clark.
So the guy they got from – Green Bay in exchange for
correct. It was Kenny Clark and Quinnen Williams were the two defensive tackles. Those are their starting defensive tackles. So we're talking good on good as far as the offense is concerned. And so a lot of those runs they were able to just hit, and you know, Etienne did a good job.
Yeah, I think one thing we should talk about too while we're on the running backs. You know, you mentioned Alvin left early. Audric Estime was not here, still coming back from the ankle injury suffered in the preseason opener, but after an extended absence for both guys, Devin Neal, Kendre Miller, both back at practice today. That's a big deal. You need to see those guys out there. Devin was dealing with a hamstring injury. Kendre was dealing with a back injury. You guys will have to tell me how they did. But just seeing them back at practice for two guys that, you know, this team wants them to make the roster. This team wants them to have a role. Like, it's good to see them back out there.
No, I agree. I thought both of those guys and every back, whether it was all five of them, the guys that really got to go, the only one that I didn't see really pop at least a plus 15 yard was Donaldson, and he didn't get him as many touches as some of those other guys. But whether it was Alvin, whether it was Travis, whether it was Chandler, and, you know, like you said, Devin and Kendre, every one of them had a run that popped for at least plus 10, plus 15. And after that, you know, it's just one-on-one with safety where I'm either going to run over him or I'm going to outrun him or give him something and be able to beat him. But, you know, they had some really, really nice lanes. And it was good to see Kendre and Devin out there just because they have missed significant time. And it's going to be important, like you talked about, for those guys to be able to show, all right, coach, it's me. I want this job. And now the Rook, I say all that. There was one blitz. The Rook stuck his nose in there on the Mike linebacker, and it was like the old
CJ.
Yeah, and it was like the old song, "Hello, it's me." I mean, because he pow.
I never thought of that song as violent.
Well, I mean, parts.
Well, that, when you talked about all the backs, you know, hitting that pop, CJ Donaldson at the end of practice from the 2 yard line, right up the gut, and he popped the dude, took it right into the end zone. And I was, man, I would not get in C.J. Donaldson's way.
Well, there was one time that, and I don't know if y'all saw it, but it was on the last play of punt. Had to be punt. Last play of punt. And if I'm C.J. Donaldson, I'm fighting. Because the refs have thrown three flags for holding against Dallas. Because, I mean, it's one thing to hold a guy for a second or two and let him go. But we have run 15 yards down the field, and you are still
– wouldn't let go of him.
You would not let go of him.
You're begging for a fight. Well, you let go of the dude.
And then you got to stop running, and you have a conversation, and you steal a hole in each other, but then you hit me. You swing on me. I'm not running off the field there. Because I want to get better, but at some point you're going to respect me as well. As a player, and I understand you're young, you're a rookie, but at some point, it's just I'm still a man too, you know, and I got a job to go do, but there are no consequences for you to do. I mean, yeah, they threw three flags, so what, you know, in a game they tell you, you know, but at practice, what do you think they're gonna say? And so it's not. Now the coaches they came. There was a coach there, a Dallas coach. He was right there to break it up immediately, but I'm not going off the field easily in that situation.
No.
I mean, because like, it's one thing if you're blocking me and I can't get away, but you are literally holding me the whole time, and it's just like, you know, let's you got to know how to practice. That's the biggest thing. We can compete between the whistles. I'm not trying to play dirty or whatever. But if you beat me, you beat me, and you know I'll deal with the consequences. But I don't want to cheat. And so that's what one of the things, and I hadn't had a chance to tell him, but it's just like, man, one, you got to protect yourself. And that's what me and Eric were talking about with some of the fights. I mean, the Cowboys, they didn't care. They were equal opportunity. They wanted to get after Fuaga a couple times. They wanted even Eric. I mean, even Eric and Maliki,
Matavau
as well. And, I mean, you had another one of the tight ends. I think it was Welch, maybe.
Yeah, no, Cody Hardy. Cody Hardy, 86 Cody,
yeah,
58.
86, but he was the one that was over there saving Bale, because that should have been right in front of y'all. I mean, because literally Bale has zero helmet. They've snatched his helmet off. You've got three or four guys on top of him. And the reason he was tired, but the reason he left practice, he got thrown into the wall. He got thrown into the wall with no helmet on. I mean, and it's not one or two guys one-on-one. It's four or five guys until – you know, if you've gotten in some altercations, it's rarely a one-on-one situation. There's always other guys that are going to come in, and that's why I was telling the receivers, look, I know you guys like to have, you know, your flash, and I can take my helmet off when it slides off. But in a fight, you better tighten your helmet up, because that's the one thing that you don't want to come off. Because there was one time they pulled that helmet off, and you saw one guy come square, and he pow, pow. And I saw, like, Hooker for Dallas, he had a big old knot on his head. And so you could tell his helmet came off and somebody caught him. And so, like, that's the one thing that you don't want. And the coaches did. After the second period where it was fight after fight, after every other play, the coaches did. And I thought they were going to stop it. I thought they were going to say no more, you know, as far as we will practice on our own. And Schottenheimer and Kellen were right there because they were both on that side of the field with the Saints offense and the defense. You know, because that's where it got rough. Yeah. That's where it had gotten rough by that at that standpoint.
I think Donovan Ezeraku got sent out because he threw a punch.
That's number six, the defensive end.
I don't know his number, but I believe Ezeraku. Yeah.
That was him. No, a lot of them threw a punch. Yeah. No, he.
But Ezeraku was sent out. Sent out of practice.
He got hurt too. He got hurt.
That's entirely possible, but
no, I'm telling you, he was one.
Schottenheimer said he sent him out.
He was one of the guys that was in the pile. He was one of the guys that were in a pile as well. But no, it was a few of them that threw some punches on that side of it. But
I saw Brock Recksteiner throwing some WWE moves out there.
He did. They had his helmet. They had his face mask. Like three guys had his face mask. And I'm like, y'all messing with the wrong cat. But the Deuce is right, because what happens is they take your helmet off. It's the weapon that they're going to use on your head.
Now it's as far as I got your helmet off, and now whether I'm swinging it or whether you got guys that are actually punching.
And that was the problem with me, is that pushing and shoving, you know, me, mano a mano, I'm okay. But every fight ended in a bench-clearing brawl.
Yeah,
that was the problem.
Now
that's where people are getting hurt.
Now, and the Saints defense, they weren't just – they weren't just choir fellas over there as well.
No, Pete Werner, I asked Pete, and he said, like, they kind of went in today with an emphasis on finishing plays. So they were, you know, they weren't taking guys to the ground, but there was stud going on. There was one play that Brevin Spann Ford, you know, he's coming down toward the goal line. Justin Reed comes in, pops him, and then he's still fighting. Martin Emerson comes in and pops him again.
Well,
that's when he took exception, because he was like, I'll take the first hit. I'm not taking the second hit.
Well, but that was a tight end on the sideline, right?
Yes.
That was a tight end. But you're the tight end, and you drop your shoulder.
Yes.
What do you think I'm going to do? I'm not going to – and then you throw the forearm.
But I think
– I'm not going to let you sit there and run me over.
On the defensive side of the ball, that was what prompted a lot of it. The Saints defense was – they went into today trying to be physical. They weren't dirty, but they were popping them. And I don't think the Cowboys offense really appreciated that. And you didn't see the benches clearing type stuff over there, except one time with Emerson over on the sideline.
No, there was a bench clearing.
Emerson was involved in a lot of it. Let's put it that way.
And so, like, after talking to him, because I talked to a couple of those guys, they didn't appreciate, and it was a third play, the third play of the first series, Saints tackled.
Yes.
Saints took 100%. The back down, and that's where
it
first started.
And I'm pretty sure it was Emerson.
Yeah, and that's where it first started. They didn't appreciate that. And then the other guy that was not he wrapped up a couple times, but Kool-Aid was tackling.
Yes.
Kool-Aid was coming up tackling, and so, you know, the corners and those skill guys, they like to talk a little bit.
Now
he wasn't malicious tackle, but it would be like, hey, you throw a 3-yard or 4-yard pass, I'm coming up and tackling. I'm not tagging you off.
It's also CeeDee Lamb, and I think he took that matchup very personally.
Correct.
You know, I think he just really wanted to go out there and hold up, and so he was physical.
Well, we'll take a break. But as we go to break, let me tell you how much we miss the Saints fans and how things are different. The field we were on, those stands, where those stands were for our field, you pay $172. To sit in those stands. Just to be on the fence on your side, $23. Only free seats were in those stands. And it got so violent, they kicked out two people from the $172 seat stands.
Jeez.
You pay $100, and I'm told, I didn't see it, and I don't like to use this word, I'm told that it was an elderly man, which means he's probably my age. But they kicked a man out from the $172 seats. I mean, the fans were fighting. It was...
Wait, that's what I was about to ask you. Are the fans up there fighting?
Yes. The police came and took a man out.
It was a day, man. You'd think the cooler weather would be like... Cooler heads prevent... No.
Dallas was done. They were going home. They were like, we're out of here. Punch away. We're leaving. I go, we got the Rams on Thursday and Saturday. All right, we'll take a break. We're in Oxnard, California, River Ridge Fields. There's a golf course. It's killing deuce. It's about 100 yards away from us. 100 yards.
Is it really?
It's that close. Thank you, Frank. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour with you until 8 o'clock tonight here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour. It is your inside look at the black and gold brought to you by Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. We are in Oxnard, California, on the coast. It's about 58 miles north of where we're staying, in Marina Del Rey, about 65, 70 miles north of downtown Los Angeles. Last week, the Rams practiced with Dallas, but it was in Woodland Hills. So I was talking to some Dallas fans like, well, did they fight like this then? They go, we don't know, because it wasn't open to the public. Mm. Just like, I'm assuming Thursday's practice, Saints and Rams.
No, it's not open.
Not open to the public. So, you know, I'm not saying that that had a role in it, but that's the difference. Dallas is flying back, and Deuce is where I'm going. They're getting ready for, you know, we play them in preseason, you know, August 28th. But for this team to get ready to do this again in 2 days. Tomorrow is nothing more than a walkthrough. There'll be some stretching and some ice baths tonight. You know, I don't know the number. Did Kellen say the number of plays they went through today?
No.
I don't know.
Yeah, if he did, I didn't hear it.
Right.
They could not, only because of the fights, well short of the 90 that they did.
Oh, definitely not 90.
In 110-degree, you know, feels like temperature. It was breezy. You know, mid-70s, maybe low 80s. And to them, they were like, whoa, it's hot here. You know, for us, we were in heaven. How difficult of a task is it going to be for this team, offense and defense, to do this again on Thursday?
It won't be hard. I mean, because, like, the biggest thing, even though you got a lot of snaps in, it's go to work. You know, and the one thing that they can do is they can give the threes a few more reps. But you'll still get your 70, 80 plays, you know, as far as a group total in. And so that won't be tough at all.
I had 76 plays on the defense side.
I bet we didn't have that much.
No, they did it. Did? Yeah, they did it. I mean, they're not going to stop just because now it took the offensive side a little longer at the end. It took them a little longer at the end to kind of finish because they were ahead, right. You know, a play or two early on, but then when you had the melees and everything, then, you know, the other side, the defensive side of the ball, they kept going. And so they're going to get their good 70, 80 plays. And if I want to give – now, you know what they didn't do, which probably gave you 90? There were no 2 minutes.
That's true.
Right. There were no
situational things at all.
No.
Really.
They did the goal. They did kind of the first and second and goal.
They did that, and they didn't have the sticks up.
Yeah,
rather,
right.
They didn't have the sticks up, and so you didn't have, like, third and five. Or, you know, you moved the ball, and you did, like, coming out, and you did red zone and some stuff like that. But you didn't have it where, all right, it's first and goal on this play. You know, and you didn't have that type of situational stuff.
But we did see, and towards the end of practice, you're right, because the offense, Saints starting offense, was so far behind. So the other team, we're watching them kind of finish up. But that was that Tyler Shuck fade pass, corner of the end zone. Noah Fant makes a great catch, both feet in bounds. I mean, literally right in front of me. The Cowboy pushed him so hard, he went into the turf. He went 20 yards where the corner of the end zone. And then, like, four plays later, Spencer Rattler, same thing, jump ball to Bub Means.
Yeah, and Bub, he has continued to come on. The last 2 weeks, he has been a guy that has really come on and caught your eye. And I'm including the game. For him, and so, you know, it's good to see him kind of get healthy and be able to make some plays. And like we talked about it earlier, you know, you're gonna need a player or two to kind of step up and give you a little bit, you know, just because you won't have Tyson anymore.
Yeah,
Deuce, can you? So Bub's an interesting player to me because you watch like a Berrion Brown, and he's got that kind of elite, kind of twitchy speed, and you understand why he gets open. Bub is kind of a plotting guy. But he seems to just use his body really well. Like, how can you just evaluate his game? Because he's not a guy that you look at and be like, I understand. He's, like, running away from people, but he does always seem to get open.
Well, one of the things is he's faster than you think.
Yes.
Because one of, you know, you go back and you look at his tape and you look at some of the numbers, you know, he was really a speed guy. And so I don't know if it's just, you know, he's always been a muscular
looking thighs?
Yeah, muscular looking guy. And so that's why you figure you can use him on 13 just because he's the guy that he was the guy I would use to block.
Yep.
And you know what else where I think they really, really like him? And he's got to go make some plays if they're going to use him there. But using him as a gunner, I mean, because, like, if he can really run, because he had one play where he was the gunner. I mean, he was running through some guys. But for him to go and make that play, a jump ball, I think that's only going to help his confidence because he's never going to get a lot of separation. Just because, you know, whether it's route running or just him and how he's breaking open. But if he can be physical at the point of attack and catch the football, then it's only going to help him. But now you talk about Berrien. Berrien is a lot more refined route runner and his overall speed. Mm-hmm. He's going to get separation for that because guys are scared of his speed.
Need to take a break? We're giving it to you right after it happened here in Oxnard, California. The Saints wrapping up their joint practice with the Dallas Cowboys. Do it again on Thursday in Woodland Hills as our tour across California will continue. But we'll take a break. You're listening to the Bullseye Saints Hour here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to River Ridge Fields in Oxnard, California. This is like a park, if you will. There's a golf course. And the Cowboys stay in, like, there's a hotel basically attached to this park where we're in like a tunnel in between them. And then they have these two fields. But basically, other than that, one way in, one way out.
Yeah. But
it's not easy.
What are these?
I think this is part of the hotel.
Is this where they stay?
Yeah, this is where they stay. That's what the.
It must be a nice little pleasant experience, like a village.
So they walk like 10 yards to.
They have like an outdoor weight room. Think about that. Can you imagine doing
that
in New Orleans?
That's right. A tent outside the media's.
Let's get some lifting in 92 degrees.
I've had that before.
Outdoor weight rooms?
Yes. Before you had the indoor, we had an outdoor weight room. Mm. We had an outdoor kitchen, just this set up here. You had the outdoor kitchen. You had the outdoor weight room. And that was not.
Was that Jackson?
That was New Orleans.
Okay.
Oof.
Oof.
That was before the indoor practice facility. That's where we lifted weights. That's where you lifted. I mean, and so times have changed.
Yes.
That's what we had. And so, like, theirs is temporary. Ours was not temporary.
So, I don't want to – we finished kind of talking about Bub Mean, and I bring it up only because of all the fights that happened – and then the touchdown with Chris Olave, with Noah Fant, and especially with Bub Means. You had the entire sideline come down to Bub Means. And they were as pumped up like it was a game, real game. Forget preseason, forget joint practice. I mean, there's some bonding things that are happening, and I think they're happy for Bub, but they did the same for Noah Fant. I mean, this was when you fight like that today, and you kind of this was a mano-a-mano kind of thing, it brings your team closer together, correct?
Well, they kind of got after it a little bit, and like I said, after that first period, Dallas defensively, they took it personal because they kind of got it handed to them the first period by the Saints offense, and that's why they picked it up a little bit, you know, from a physicality standpoint and just trying to be a lot more physical with them and just made some plays. Now, Dallas defense, they made some plays. I'll give them that. There was one PBU against Trey Lance on the sideline where the quarterback made a nice play. I mean, there were a couple times where they forced really all your quarterbacks. There was one where I know Tyler threw an interception and Spencer threw an interception.
Tyler threw one in the end zone.
But Tyler ate the ball, basically threw it into the ground because he didn't want to throw another interception. And there was pressure. I mean, he had to kind of move in the pocket. So it wasn't like, you know, the Saints just dominated in that factor. But to be able to hit Noah Fant like he did and to be able to exploit, you know, whether it was Austin made a couple of catches. But, you know, we talked about Chris Olave. I thought that they did a good job of just being able to connect.
Can I ask, because I didn't get to see it, the backup quarterback situation, was it the same as the other day where they kind of just split second and third? Like, how did they set that up?
Well, no, it was mainly Rattler, but
Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson did get in with the twos. So I don't know, and it was hard for me to see a lot because they mixed the offensive linemen up so much. I don't know if our threes – went any as far as offensive linemen. If it was
the way they did it on Thursday, they kind of mixed and matched, and they did that on the defensive side too. You saw like the second team corners with the first team defensive line.
No, and so that's what I meant. Like, because one time after one of the big fights, okay, Eric wasn't in.
Yeah.
But it was the ones, everybody else,
right,
with the one offense. I think it was Fuaga had an offense offsides. And so Awesome Richard came in for one play. And then it was, you know, I think Simpkins was in, or one of your backup offensive linemen were in, but they were with the rest of the offensive line, the starter. So different things like that kind of threw me a loop once or twice, but I'm trying to think of
just imagine if they were wearing the wrong numbers.
Well, that they were wearing the wrong numbers on the defense, and that's what I was trying to figure out.
The right side of the field today, I can tell you that. Baby.
That was rough. By like the 14 period, it was like we had learned a different language.
It was
translating 41. Oh, that's seven. Okay.
It was Torricelli, he and what is it? Is it Sherman?
Will Sherman.
Who is the right guard? Torricelli's the center.
Kelty, Will Sherman, probably.
Every time the Saints had a big run, guess what he was over there doing? He was giving it to that D lineman every time. I mean, because he did the same thing in the game. When you go and look at it, if he can learn to play under control a little bit, because there was a couple of times where he would miss Torricelli and Sherman. He would miss kind of the maybe their guy because they're so aggressive. So you just got to hone in that a little bit.
We will step aside, take a break here. Come back and wrap things up and talk a little bit about what's ahead. It's not like there's nothing left this week. You got the Rams on Thursday, the Rams at SoFi on Saturday. Big week here in Oxnard, California, and Los Angeles. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, Jeff Nowak. We're back after this here on the Bullseye Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour, an inside look at the black and gold. Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints, and it is a day of rest tomorrow for the Saints. They'll do basically a walkthrough. They practice at a local high school that's a pretty impressive local high school that we passed. And then it's the Rams on Saturday, preseason game. So, Deuce, you and I have talked about this a little bit before. And it's like, because of the way this thing was scheduled, if you looked at the preseason, you go, okay, preseason one, maybe preseason two, you play your starters for maybe a couple of drives. In preseason three, you don't. But because of the way this preseason has been kind of set up, with a joint with Jacksonville, play Jacksonville, two joints, and then the game on Saturday with the Rams, you're kind of trying to figure out maybe it's the third preseason game. When am I going to get my starters some time on the preseason field, if at all?
Mike, you've been talking to Bobby too much.
What does that mean?
He asked the question, and he answered the question, and then he came back.
That's true.
To ask me the question again.
I said, are the starters going to play?
Will the starters play any in the preseason game?
Right.
I have no clue.
I've never
experienced three.
It is strange.
Three practices against another team.
And two preseason games.
I think the way it's set up and with the week off in between the third preseason game and the regular season, you should be able to get one series at minimum for the starters. Just to have them run out there,
but
get
then
introductions.
What's the point?
What's the point ever?
But if it's not going to be a quarter or half.
No. You want them to get one good drive, build some confidence, and get them that out.
All right.
I mean, but that may be what you get max.
Dallas. Not Saturday.
Max, and that's only if, like a guy like, let's just say Christian Miller,
right?
If he's 100%, then you go. But if you're nursing an injury, you're not going.
Nope,
you're not going. And so I don't know honestly, and that's just because I've never been around a team that has had not even the games. I mean, just the practices where you practice against three other opponents. I've never seen that. Now the only catch there, where it would make you think that yes, they will play at least a game, the practices have only been once. Because normally when you practice against another team, you practice 2 days, mm-hmm. not necessarily just one day. And so maybe that tells you, all right, yeah, they may play the starters a little bit the third game. But
Definitely not this week.
No, this week you're not playing at all.
I've always felt like, too, on offense, I only put my quarterback out there if I have at least four of my offensive line starters out there. Like, if I don't want to play Eric McCoy, then I'm not playing Tyler Shuck. Right? Like, I just feel like that's important. Because I don't want to put Tyler at risk behind backups.
No, I agree with you there. I mean, but if thinking that, you know, Eric is that important to you and you want to sit him, then yes, I'm not
sit my quarterback.
I'm gonna sit my quarterback. And then the other part, the only reason I would have said that Tyler will play, and this is my negative in it. Who knew? That's N-E-W. Is he going to be throwing to? Now, if Tyson,
yeah,
is available, then yes. With him not being available, he's throwing to Vele.
Yep.
He's throwing to Chris Olave.
Yep. Achan's really the only new guy.
Achan, I'm not feeding you 10 yeah. times. Fant, you're a veteran. You've played in the NFL before. So what am I going to run? Three routes for you? Two yep. routes for you? Force feed them to you? I'm not going to play Tyler Shuck to be able to throw three balls to Trey Lance, three balls to Barry and Brown.
And Oscar Delp.
Oscar Delp. I'm because even if in a regular season game, that would be a whole game that they're going to get three targets.
Right.
He's not the primary guy where, hey, Barry, we're throwing the football to you seven times in this game. It's just not. It's not going to happen.
And the offensive line is the same too. Like David Edwards is the only guy you're adding, and he's the last person I'm worried about.
He's the vet,
reps, right?
He's the vet, and so that's my only. If I'm saying, all right, why am I not playing this offense?
What are you gaining?
What are you gaining?
The gain is not worth the risk to me.
Yeah, and
especially because it's on the road too. It's not like you even get him in the Superdome to say, hey, run out on the field, get used to it.
Well. That's a part of it. It's a dome, which is, you know, you play in a dome.
It's true.
My only negative, and you were going to have this whether we play him for one quarter, whether you play him at all, is it's 2 weeks of just quote unquote practice, you know,
yeah.
before you play a game.
September 13th is a long. In some cases, for us, it feels like a long way away.
It doesn't seem that far away to me.
But to them and for the coaching staff, it is not.
It's a very long, long time. And here's the thing, as well. Here's kind of what happens. After this week, you don't. They really
physicality ramps down quickly.
No, the day before, they'll start going over the Rams stuff. What day you play? Saturday.
Saturday. Yep.
You'll go over what the Rams do on Friday.
On Friday's walkthrough.
On Friday. Now, you'll cheat it a little bit because you practice against them on Thursday, so you'll have some of that film to watch. But you won't do anything. You know, they'll give them a little game plan to treat it like a game, but it won't be a lot. Now, I'm curious how they try to help that other young group as far as the Cowboys are concerned because you've got film. You've got film now of what the Cowboys do, and so you kind of know that, all right, this is our week. We're going to treat this because at some point they will break camp.
You can mimic a game.
A regular game
that's
week.
That's a good point.
And so that may be that for the younger guys to mimic that. But for the starters and the veterans, the guys that you're not going, it's a long week. Now, for us, yeah, it'll be here in a hurry. But for them, it'll be almost like, man, I don't know what to do.
Well, because they play Saturday and they'll fly back, and it's just a short week because you have the Tulane Tuesday night, but the Dallas game is on Friday night, so it's a little shorter. But that mimic the kind of here's a week. We look at film. We do this. Interesting point. All right, that'll do it for us here in Oxnard, California. My thanks to Charlie Long back in the booth. Thank you, Charlie, and everybody else who helped get this broadcast together. Thanks to Deuce McAllister, Jeff Nowak. I am Mike Haas. Thanks for listening to the Bullseye Saints Hour, an inside look at the black and gold. Bullseye is the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. We'll be here all week. Check us out on Sports Talk on WWL, as well as all along the Saints Radio Network. Goodbye from Oxnard, California.